That's a little too loud. Oh! Still too loud. That's because I was turning down the wrong thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 11 minutes after the hour, and this is the Mascot Wedding Show. Radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we usually open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, the phone number is 472-5667. For you people that prefer spelling over numbers, the phone number is 472-K-O-O-P. How's it going, David? What's that? You got punched in the throat. Oh my God. He's not here. My regular radio co-host, David Hatta, is on assignment. He's actually at the Draft House tonight. I don't know if I think I can talk about this. Yeah, he's doing a show at the Draft House with another co-op DJ, John Erler. And they're doing a Master Pancake mocking of Total Recall. That's right. I think I'm making no money off of that, so I'm pretty sure I can advertise it. If he was here, he couldn't. Separate agenda or whatever. But yeah, I think there's two shows tonight, so if that seems like your bag, check it out. Tickets and times at originalalamo.com. There you go. Free plug, jerk. Jeez. We just heard Phoenix, the French group Phoenix, off of Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix. That was Fences. And to start off the show, The Walkman off the album You and Me. That was track one, Donde Está la Playa, which I believe is Spanish for It's Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown. Oh, how's it going, everybody? So like I said, it's just me here today, which always feels a little weird. Just to be in a room. But and thinking that, like, just kind of talking and thinking that people are listening to you. You know, because when David is here, or DJ Apprentice Hup, for that matter, who also has the week off, at least you're talking to somebody. But yeah, but I mean, I can take solace in the fact that because the battle cattle are set to kick off in 2 minutes, that listenership, probably not that much. However, if you want to call in today, 472-5667, 472-K-O-O-P, I would love to talk to you. Help me kill some of this time. Ugh. But I have exciting news. David and I will be back in studio together next week. That is the first time we've had a normal David and I both here non-membership drive show in 9 weeks. Nine. That is obscene. That blows my mind a little bit. So if anyone was like, hey, I'll tune to this show after seeing our Best of Austin write-up, you have not heard a regular edition of this show. That is fact. But on today's show, we'll be talking about a bunch of stuff, including my ACL wrap-up, which that might just kill the entire hour right there, because I went all 3 days to the Austin City Limits Music Festival, and I have a lot to talk about in terms of that. But first of all, I wanted to mention that... big props to fan of this show, President Barack Obama, for winning that Nobel Peace Prize. That was pretty huge. And what's funny is I was already going to talk about Obama on the show today, you know, because the guy doesn't get mentioned a lot. So it's funny that now I got some, you know, I have some kudos to give him as well. But the funniest thing about him winning the Nobel Prize are the people that still complain about it. Like, I actually, but you know what? I say that, but in all honesty, I haven't heard someone complain about it yet. I've just heard people pre-complaining, like basically saying, like, I can't believe those jerks who are ragging on Obama for winning a Nobel Peace Prize, you know, but I've never actually heard those jerks say that. But I've heard enough people pre-complaining that I feel like I can pre-complain too. Because who are these people? Who are these people like, man, you know, these, you know, leftist, no, I'm sorry, right, conservatives or whatever, neocons, who love to dig on President Obama. And it's like, oh man, he shouldn't have won the Nobel Peace Prize. It's like, oh yeah? Who should have won? Yeah, name another winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in the last 5 years. Bleh, guh, bleh. You got nothing. You got nothing. I mean, that's so weird to rag on your president or a person you don't like for winning the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, like, oh man, his healthcare system's nuts. Obama's gonna take us. Why don't he just buy us all houses in commie Russia? Well, I'll move there. That's what he really wants. I mean, that kind of thing, that's one thing. But to be like, oh, that stinking Obama wins Nobel Peace Prize. He doesn't. God, it's like a million degrees in here all of a sudden. Like, that's, it's pretty weak. But why I wanted to mention Obama is, if you want to talk about, this is sort of like a, he's definitely, he's changed my thinking. For instance, anytime I do something now that saves a little bit of energy, in my brain I go, Obama. Like, there's where I live in Sunken Valley, Texas, there's my little like condo apartment thing. It's gated. And I, when I bike up to it, you know, I can enter in the little gate code and the door will open and I'll go in. Or I could bike down and sort of like let myself in the pedestrian gate, which is kind of a pain in the butt. But every time I'm like, oh, I'll go in the front gate, I just go Obama in my brain. And then I bike down to the pedestrian gate and use that. Same thing with like if I'm leaving the house and I see a light on for some reason. And it's not like this has just sort of happened. Like, I don't know. I really don't know the genesis of this, but I honestly do it. Like, if I leave the house, I see the light on and I'll be like, oh man, I'm really on the run. I really got to hurry. I'll just tell you what, I'll get that light later. I'll just, when I come home, I'll turn it off and I'll take another step and then my brain will go Obama. And then I'll go back and I'll do it. So I'm doing it for you, buddy. It's working hard for me. I'm working hard for him. I'm trying to save a little energy. Speaking of energy, this show's better be some high energy stuff. What? That doesn't make sense. Tell you what, we'll take a break. And when I come back, bee boo boo bop, what are we going to do? We are going to talk about the ACL, Austin City Limits Festival. A lot is going to be my breakdown on it. But first, let me see, what are we going to do here? We're going to hear a group that played at the Austin City Limits Festival that I really liked, The Virgins, off of their self-titled album. This is Fernando Pendo.
Crowds push and shove
down. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
In a bus, fume haze, building for a new day. Will become of you.
And we're back. Hey, it's a Mascot Wedding Show. My name is Mac Blake, and you're listening to 91.7 KOOP Hornsby Austin. The phone number, if you want to call in and be a part of today's show, 472-5667, 472-KOOP. That was The Virgins with Fernando Panda off of, I believe, their self-titled album. And they were one of the many bands that played at the Austin City Limits Music Festival, which was last week, which I went to. Now, you may already be sick of hearing about or thinking about this thing, or you may even still be tired from it, because I know I am. But I'll try to make this enjoyable. I'll try to make it pretty painless. Now, one of the things that the sort of the clout about ACL, and we kind of talked about this on the show previously, so I won't go in for it for too long, but it's when the show got announced, people were already complaining, like, oh man, ACL's lame. And I think it was, golly, it was pretty close, about a month away from South By when the tickets went on sale, you know? And I'm not sure when the lineup got announced, to be honest with you, but I remember when it came out, people were like, oh man, ACL sucks. And keep in mind, that was back when Beastie Boys and Sonic Youth were still on the bill. And I think the ACL sort of gets like a, it kind of gets a bad rap from like the cooler crowd. First of all, like what lineup, this lineup, and you know, with Pearl Jam, and then who else, you know, was a headliner? Ooh, boy, I forgot. You know, Ghostland, Dave Matthews, whatever. Name a lineup that didn't have like a well-worn mainstream act in the closer spots. You know, like, oh man, that last ACL was better. Oh, the one with Tom Petty? Where he closed the show? Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's going to skew older. If you're looking for like cool, hip, like breakout bands, Austin City Limits Music Festival is probably not the place to have it. Why does it have to be measured against, say, Fun 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 Fest or South by Southwest? They're not at the same time. Can't it just be something fun to do for a weekend? Obviously, if you look at Fun 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 Fest, the lineup is, in quotes, cooler. South by, obviously, cooler. That doesn't mean, like, I can't go to this festival, you know? Like, they're not mutually exclusive. And when I showed up last Friday and I felt that green, green grass, oh my God, Friday was so nice. And that lawn, because they've been keeping us off of Zilker Park forever, and supposedly they installed some like $3 million sprinkler system. And dear God, did it work. I've never felt grass so soft. Like, it really was like a carpet. Like, I couldn't shut up about it. The people that are hanging out with, like, if ever there was a, not even a momentary lull, if there was a space in anything anyone was talking about more than a second, I would immediately switch the conversation back to the grass. So if you're guessing that I'm a boring person to talk to, the answer is yes. Or you are correct in your guessing, I should say. But yeah, it was amazing. It was like so soft and so nice. And being outside and the weather was perfect. I mean, like, this is the first Austin City Limits festival that I've been to. And I missed the last two. I think I went through like two, three, four. And then I missed 5 and 6. I want to say this is 8. Don't quote me on that, but whatever. I missed the last two. I know that much. And this is the first time I've been outside during this thing where it's actually felt nice. Like, it wasn't too hot. You know, I wasn't like suffering. It was actually nice weather. I mean, I think this is the latest they've ever done it too. But whatever, it was great. And when I was outside and I was feeling it, I was like, man, haters can just, oh, they can just, you know, I can't say that on the air. haters can hate, because this is nice. This is extremely pleasant. You know, and I show up and the Walkmen are playing as I show up. I wish I've heard more of their set. They sounded pretty good. You know, and then I waited and Phoenix came out. I'm just sitting there, or actually I'm standing at this point, of course, and the weather's nice. The grass, once again, couldn't be a carpet. And, you know, if you were like, oh man, Austin City Limits, brr, you were missing out, I have to say. Now, if you didn't go because you didn't want to go, because whatever reasons, or you didn't want to spend the money, that's fine. But all you people are like, I don't want to go because I want to be somewhere cool. Well, whatever. But yeah, Phoenix came out and they were really great. And Phoenix also had a really good strategy, because you need strategy to play these festivals. You can't just go and play the same set or whatever you play it in, or you can't act the same way as you play like a nightclub or like Stubbs at night or something like that. Especially if you play during the day. Because the thing is, even though the weather was pleasant, you still got a bunch of people, you know, it's still a little hot. And you got a bunch of people outside, and it's a huge crowd, and you can't just sit on the stage, not move around, and not talk to the audience. I don't want to fault bands for not being like David Lee Roth on stage or whatever, like, and need like an IV drip after the show because they're bouncing around so much. You know, they don't have to act like they're the dancer in a ska band. But you got to do something at a festival. And if you're not a band that's comfortable doing that, you probably shouldn't be at a music festival outdoors in Austin in October. But Phoenix, they brought it. They start off with Lysomania, which is a hit. And then their other hit, 1901, was the second to last song. Well played. And in between, the guy, I forget his name, somebody Morris, the lead singer, he kept like thanking us. You know, he was like, oh, thank you, thank you. This is the biggest crowd Phoenix has ever played in front of. Thank you. And as stupid as it sounds like that, or not necessarily stupid, but as cheap as it might sound that would get across to us, when he took the time to, like, you know, there was some banter prior to that. Like, hey, how's it going? We're Phoenix, blah, blah, blah. How's it going out there? I mean, obviously, like, he's not trying to start a conversation with 12,000 people or whatever. Like, hey, how's it going out there? Ah, it's going great. It's fine. It's great. It's fine. It's great. He's not trying to do that. But you, even though it's like a small sort of tenuous connection, it is a connection. And when he was saying, like, thank you, I I did feel thanked for some reason, which, once again, it's kind of stupid. Like, you know, he wasn't talking to me. He's just being, you know, he could have said anything up there. But for some reason, it resonated. And that may seem like, oh, you were weak-willed. You were weak-minded to think that resonates with you. But it did. it did resonate with me. And then let me see. After Phoenix, what else did I do? I wrote this down over here. After Phoenix, people I was with, we walked around, you know, Zilker a little bit, because one person who I hung out with a lot that weekend, it was her first time at ACL, and so it's like, oh, let's go take a walk around. And while we were taking a walk around, we got some food, and then we put a blanket out on the grass, which once again, didn't even need the blanket. Blanket was just, it was like icing on the cake. If that icing was made of luxurious, the world's softest grass. In front of, we camped in front of the one stage. I want to say it was it's the one sort of like behind the rocky outcropping. And on that stage was an example of really dumb stage banter. And it was Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 or something like that. But whatever it was like this really lame stream. I felt like he thought he was like blowing our minds. Because it was this kind of lame, like, if you're a Robin Hitchcock fan, I apologize. It's not for me. But the stage banter, he'd come out and be like, oh, how's it going? Happy Christmas. See you earlier this year. Like, what? Happy Christmas. See me earlier this year. What? Like, everything he said was some sort of like lame, like half-assed, trippy, like, I'm blowing these people's minds. Like, I don't know. It's just like, oh, and I can only... could only take so much. And then I was like, you know what, can we do this in front of John Legend? I think I'd prefer to sit and listen to John Legend, even though this is by food. Like, I don't think I could take like the how's it going, my beautiful children? We're all one world. What? Oh my God, he's blowing my mind. Which wasn't really working. But yeah, John Legend, heard that. That was pretty good. And then I went to go stand in front of the Yeah or wait on that stage. Cause that was the main reason. I wouldn't say it's the main reason I was there, because I bought my ticket before the lineup was announced, and Yeah Yeahs were a replacement for the Beastie Boys. And so I went to go stand by the Yeah Yeahs stage, but it was right next to another stage where Them Crooked Vultures played. And the funny thing is, I knew that Them Crooked Vultures is Josh Homm from Queens of Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal, Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters, Nirvana, etc., and John Paul Jones, a bassist for Led Zeppelin. I had heard those three people had formed a super group, but I did not know that's what it was called. And so they started to play, and I was like, and I was far enough away to where I could still hear them clearly, but I was like, I texted David, I was like, is that Josh Homm? And he's like, yeah, it's Homm, it's Grohl, and it's John Paul Jones. I was like, oh, that's them. They should have just called themselves Grohl, Homm, and Jones. Like, that would have been a lot easier, at least for me, because I totally forgot that's who they were. But yeah, those guys brought it. Gotta say. Those sort of like super groups, you know, for instance, sometimes don't really pan out. They sound just kind of who cares. And that may sound like an odd pairing. I mean, Grohl and Homm, I mean, I think the second Queens album, Dave Grohl played drums on, so that's not all that weird. I mean, and John Paul Jones, he's just playing bass, but it was really good. It was really, really good. And I don't even think their album is out yet. But in fact, the other super group that played ACL, Dead Weather, I really enjoyed them as well. But I will be talking about that later. But yeah, and then after them Crooked Vultures stopped playing, it was time for the Yeah Yeahs. And I got to give a shout out to a friend of the show, Audra Schroeder. She wrote a nice wrap up of the Yeah Yeahs show in the Austin Chronicle, which you may catch at austinchronicle.com if you'd want to read it there. But I, of course, will... get my own little take. So I have to say that I'm a big Yeahs fan. Like, I was kind of hoping that they were going to beat ACL, and was disappointed definitely when they were not in the lineup when it was announced. And granted, I would not wish MCA, you know, to have throat cancer. But I'm not happy at all about that, of course. Because I got to say, I really like the Beastie Boys too. But I was thrilled that the Yeahs were there, which I was so thrilled that the Yeahs were there that I got into a couple arguments with people sort of against the Beastie Boys, because they're like, oh man, it's disappointing the Beastie Boys dropped out. And I was like, not me. And I started to like get in arguments against the Beastie Boys, which is a little ludicrous because I have, I think, six of their albums. You know, if I don't want to be a claim to be a Beastie Boys fan, you know, I'm not doing good, too good of a job of it. But let's be honest, folks. Beastie Boys, time to grow up a little bit. You still listen to them? How old are you? What are you, 18? That's fine. You're 35? Yeah, no. You know, you don't need rhymes about hot sauce anymore. Okay? But yeah, still, MCA, Speedy Recovery, of course. But the AES took the stage, and it was amazing. I loved it. Like, they played a lot off of all three of their albums, even, I think, something off of their EP. Not Is, but the, or Isis. But their first one, self-titled. And I have to say, and they had these this giant inflatable eye behind them, and you may have seen that in pictures, but I have yet to find a picture yet. What they did is, you know how they release beach balls to the crowd sometimes? And, you know, people bat them around in the air, and that's whatever that is. But they had two giant inflatable eyes that they shot on in the crowd. These things were huge. And it's kind of funny because as soon as those got out there, I stopped watching the stage and immediately started, like, watching these eyes. And when they would hit, for some reason, when they would touch in the middle, when they'd be knocked together, that brought me special satisfaction. I can't describe it. I can describe it. I just did, but I can't really explain it. But yeah. And I got to be honest with you. My eyes got a little soft during one part of it. In an article, Audra described MAPS as a tearjerker. And that was it. That really got me for some reason. Because I don't know what's happened to me. I am just a complete 100% a wreck. Because prior to this year, it would take a hammer to the thumb probably to get me to cry. I had my nose, I was struck in the face and my nose broken at one point. Not only did not fall down, I did not cry. Yet now, like TV shows, any like emotional moments of TV shows would get to me, which is just sickening. Like crying is like the number two worst thing. Like I hate that. I absolutely hate doing it. I just hate it. Hate it. But man, they started playing MAPS and it got to me. It honestly got to me, you know? And I wikied the song later on just to sort of, you know, look in the backstory. I never thought to do that until after ACL. And apparently MAPS stands for My Angus Please Stay, because she was dating this dude named Angus who was in the band The Liars, and he was leaving, and that's what the song is about. But yeah, MAPS. I mean, if you've ever sort of like had someone you love kind of like leave your life or just move away, or maybe you feel just that one line, you know, they don't love you like I love you. You know, she slowed it down. Nick Zinner busted out the acoustic guitar. And man, it got to me. You know, I try to be a tough guy on the show or whatever. And I feel sort of lame doing that to a song that can be found on Rock Band. But that is what happened. That is the truth. And so, yeah, I thought that was an amazing set. And they really brought it. It was funny as I was oddly thinking about Puff Daddy was talking about Janet Jackson one time. And he said that she stopped a show to just like stare at the audience for like 5 minutes or something. And the AES didn't do that, but they did stop and just like stand there. Like right in the middle of Day with the Night, which is like, you know, and then like there's a part right there in the song where it stops and they sort of stopped on stage for, I want to say like 2 minutes. And then Brian Chase, the drummer, started spinning the stick and then boom, off again. And it was just an awesome show. And it was even more awesomer because the next day, Saturday, I heard a bunch of people talking about how much Kings of Leon sucked. I could have told you that. That was the ultimate litmus test right there. Because the Yeah Yeahs were opposite Kings of Leon. If you were over at Kings of Leon and you chose them over the Yeah Yeahs, I had two emotions. One, pity. Second, absolute disgust. That ground could have opened up and swallowed you. That was the wrong choice to make. Kings of Leon, how dare you choose them over the AAS? You deserve whatever happens to you, whatever. Unless you're like a huge Pearl Jam fan, because Eddie Vedder came out during that. But yeah. And then that was Friday, which was glorious. And then Saturday came along, and Saturday we could no longer escape the rain. Now, Saturday, I rode my bike all the way to ACL. And am I saying that to brag? Yes, I am. Because that took a lot out of me after the, not the ride there, but the ride home was exhausting. Yes. So I showed up, showed up for the Virgins, who were awesome, played them earlier on the show. I thought they were really good, really stinking good. And I think, I mean, I played them on the show previously. So I was really looking forward to them. And then I think I didn't do anything after that and then waited for Chick Chick Chick, which is the band that's the three exclamation marks. And Chick Chick Chick, hat is off to them. They brought it. Like, they absolutely, like, the lead singer guy, like, you know, running into the crowd, you know, like, just running all over the place, dancing on top of speakers. And it's funny, too, because at one point during the show, and this is something that I felt like everyone said, like, the Virgin said this. It's almost kind of like an ACL cliche. If you're playing during the day, at one point, a person in the band will be like, oh, man, it's early. We're not used to playing this early. Like, I could count at least three groups that said that. And but he said it. And this is, of course, like after this guy's like giving it his all in the rain. And it started raining. And I was pretty up close for Chick 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 and the Virgins. And I got on the Jumbotron a couple times. And one time the camera was like pointed right at me and I didn't really know what to do. So I kind of gave like a Jim from The Office like smirk and then like the peace sign. And I was like, oh, stupid. Like, I don't know why, but I felt really dumb after that. But Chick 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 was really good. And they definitely brought the energy. And that guy said it because once it started raining, he's like, you know what? It's raining. But if you're in it, might as well be in it. That's true. At that point, from that point on, I was like, oh, rain, bring it. It wasn't raining enough for my taste on Saturday. And after Chick Chick Chick, went over to go see Grizzly Bear. Snooze. Oh my God, Grizzly Bear is so boring. If you want to, and maybe Grizzly Bear is good. But they're just not a bad, horrible match for this festival. Because I listened to one song and it was just like, oh man, this is putting me to sleep. Can't spell Grizzly Bear without two Z's. I was like, you know what, I'll give it another song. Another song came on. Good night. I was like, well, you know, I'm not enjoying this. So I took off. I left. And as I was walking away, I was like halfway across the park. It started to sound a little bit better when I was over there. So I was like, yeah, maybe, but I'm not walking back at this point. And then I went to go meet this friend of mine, a local playwright. I'll give her a shout out, Amy Gonzalez. And she's not, oh, no, maybe I shouldn't have given her a shout out. Because I was going to talk about something, but if you know. Well, anyway, she wasn't feeling too well that day. And so I went to meet her at a place and we walked back to go see Bon Iver, but we had to leave because she didn't feel too well. So I did not get to see that, but that is okay. And what else did I see on Saturday? Oh, one more thing. As I was walking out of Grizzly Bear, I passed Airborne Toxic Event. It sounded pretty good. And you know what? I saw them at South by Southwest as well when I was waiting to see another band they were playing. And I was like, you know what? These guys sound pretty good. But the funny thing is, they don't seem like a band I would like. And I was like, Airborne Toxic Event, pass. But I've seen them live twice now, and both times it sounded pretty good. I got to admit, I like the band. Like, they've won me over. You know, like, they're out there rocking with suits on in the middle of the day, and you're like, I don't know about this. But you know what? They brought it. And then something else happened on Saturday that made me kind of sad. I was, I think I was waiting for Bon Iver to come on. This is before I took off. And this band on one stage, this song started playing. It sounded really familiar. It was like, so I'm going rising in a mile, I'll be feeling fine. And I was like, hey, I know that song. I've heard that song on the radio. We're just kind of walking along. Who sings that? And then I looked in the schedule, Citizen Cope. And I'd say I was really disappointed by this because I saw Citizen Cope, golly, back in 2001, open for Ben Folds. And he was dreadful, just dreadful. And so the fact that he had a hit song, I don't know why, but it made me sad. Like, I was so happy for him to be dreadful forever. I was like, oh, dang it. He got popular. Which I don't know why. I mean, good for him. Who cares? But for some reason, I was like, ugh. I would look forward to complaining about him for years to come, I guess. But then I came back for Ghostland Observatory. I chose them over Dave Matthews, which is not a big surprise. And I was kind of looking forward to Ghostland, but the sound was kind of off. I don't know if anyone else had this experience. I was kind of not impressed by Ghostland. For a two-man group, they had lasers, which I was excited about, going to be honest. I was like, wow, concentrated light. Count me in, Ghostland Observatory. And I do indeed like Ghostland. But for some reason, that show was just not doing it for me. You know, it like the sound was a little off. I couldn't really hear the guy. And I was decent, pretty close. You know, and so I left. And I do regret that a little bit because I left before they pulled the same thing they did when they played Austin Music Hall, which is they brought out a marching band to play, I believe, the Band Marches On or Band Plays On, whatever that song is off of Robotique Majestique. But I left before that, which I had to say I did regret. Now, I wish I would have stayed for that. But part of that was motivated by, you know what, I get to Ghostland at a better venue. Yeah, but that guy did not say one word to the crowd. There's only, there's not a lot, it's just you sort of jumping around stage. I either look at you or I look at the guy in the cape who's just standing still most of the time. You know? There's not, you need a little bit more. Lasers aren't helping it. They're helping it, but they're not pushing it. They're not carrying you, is what I would say. Maybe a little, hey, how's it going? Like, I know you live in Austin, Ghostland guy with the ponytails. So you're not going to be like, how's it going, Austin? Ha! Or whatever. But you could be like, hey, guys, what's up? Having a good time? Ready for this. Ghostland Observatory. Boom, down, 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 boom, boom, boom. And then Saturday started to be a little bit muddy towards the end. Like, Amy G came over. She went, she's like, I'm going to go look at Dave Matthews real quick. I was like, your funeral. And she came back and she was like, it was like ankle deep mud. And I was like, wow, that sounds gross. And Saturday night after the show, I met David Hatta at a bar to have a couple drinks. And that was a mistake. Why was that a mistake? Because when it was time for me to bike home, I was not drunk, of course, but it started raining. And that ride home was pretty miserable, like in the rain. And which contrasts that to Sunday, because Sunday I also rode my bike. And Sunday I'm riding my bike down to Zilker, and it starts raining. And at this point I'm like, yeah, bring it. More rain. Is that all you got? Is that all you got, Thor? Bring that rain. Bring it down. I'm not wet enough. Do your worst. And then all of that cockiness, all of that hubris went right out the window when I got to the park because that place was a swamp. So stinking muddy. And at this point, I'm thinking all those haters that I was like dissing on earlier, now you have a reason to be smug. You did not go. Like people are like, oh man, I should have gone to ACL. A Sunday comes around. Maybe you shouldn't have. Like, and here's something else that surprised me about the mud. It stunk. It smelled really bad. It smelled like crap. And I found out later there was a reason for that. Because the park was treated with something called Dillo dirt. And Dillo dirt itself was treated with some sewage. So in other words, there is some sewage in that dirt. Knowing that, the people that decided to like smear themselves in dirt, like they pretended it was a Woodstock 3 or something like that. Like, yeah, I'm a mud person. I'm going to go slide around in some dirt. Like that. At that point, I was like, that maybe wasn't the smartest decision. But yeah, that mud was out of control. And so it's kind of, and I was standing waiting for the Arctic Monkeys to come on. And I don't really smoke except when drunk. And at that point, I would have paid someone money to take a drag off their cigarette, put their mouth on my nose, and just blow all the smoke up into it. Or at the very least, just stab me with a lit cigarette in my nostrils because I couldn't take that mud smell. It smelled so bad. Arctic Monkeys, another prime example of got to change your game plan for a festival. Because that guy comes out there. What is he, like 22 years old? He's a good-looking cat. But he comes out there and he's like, ooh, you're a quiet lot. Burger, burger, burger. Like starts playing or whatever. And then he's like, oh, how's it going out there? Burger, burger. And then like starts playing again. I know Arctic Monkey songs, but I don't know the beginning. You on the dance floor, whatever. And then, they sounded pretty good, but the guy's just kind of standing there. And once again, you got to kind of up it. Got to up it for a festival. Oh, you think, oh, it's bright. Oh, it's early. It's early for everyone. All right, it's hot. You think you're kind of hot on stage? I'm soaking in putrid mud down here. I need a little bit more energy, Arctic Monkeys. A little bit more. And then from there, I went to the Dirty Projectors, which I got to say another regret. Dirty Projectors sounded good, but not the best pairing for a festival. Like, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, it's bright out. You could get crazy all you want, but your music, I mean, it was sort of a bad matchup. I mean, I do like the Dirty Projectors, but I got to say that was kind of a bad fit. Plus, I found out that Passion Pit was awesome, is what people have been telling me. And so, kind of wish I had saw Passion Pit instead and maybe saw Dirty Projectors when they played like Antones or something. But that would, of course, mean I don't have to go to Antones, something I don't like doing. But, and then after Dirty Projectors, I walked over to Dead Weather. I got to be honest with you again that I was a little skeptical of the Dead Weather. Just because it seems like, oh, hey, we're the Dead Weather. Jack Black like announces he's got this side project. And like 2 weeks later, ACL has booked them. Like their album hadn't even come out yet. You know, it's like for some reason, Jack Black and Ben Harper have carte blanche with this festival. Like, hey, I just started a new group. Yeah, yeah, sure. You can, you have a closing spot. Like, I think the same thing happened with the Raconteurs. Where Jack White was like, oh, yeah, hey, I just started up this group. Yep, good enough. Sure, they can come. And then Ben Harper, like, oh, my God. I granted, like, does it matter? You know, if Ben Harper has the Relentless Seven or the Stupid Criminals, that guy's still going to be boring. So, who cares? But anyway, I thought Dead Weather were good. I thought they sounded pretty good. And then I could talk more about them, but I want to get to Pearl Jam. Now, Pearl Jam was part of the reason that a bunch of people were complaining, like, when the lineup was announced. Oh, man, what is this lineup from, like, the 90s? The 90s cold. They want their lineup back. I heard about 5 to 20 idiots, like, post that in places. If you thought that was a funny joke, I got news for you. You're not funny. But really, like, Pearl Jam did everything you want them to do from a closer. Now, I spent the most of the majority of that day with David. And David, my co-host who's not here, folks who are just tuning in, he is a huge Pearl Jam fan. I like Pearl Jam, but I only have like one album of theirs, and it's like a two-song EP, Merkinball. Like, so I wouldn't exactly call myself a super fan. But it doesn't matter, because they were a mainstream success enough to where enough people know their songs and can, you know, sing along or whatever. And that's kind of what you want from a closer. You know, you want a catalog that people know. And they brought it. I know I keep saying they brought it. I'll come up with a new phrase. Pearl Jam, they did what they walked the talk. Talk the walk. Ah, man, that's stupid too. They walked the walk. They came with a lot of energy. They played a lot of good songs. And I had to say they did everything you want a closer to do. They even brought out special guests. Ben Harper came out, played a song. Perry Farrell, who I don't even know was in town, came out and did a song with them. I got to say, I mean, and people, the other funny thing about Eddie Vedder, the guy kind of reminded me of like Rocky. Like he came out and he was kind of stuttering and he's like, there's a group here tonight. And he was drinking out of a bottle of wine. So chances are he was drunk. However, a lot of stuttering even when he first got on stage. So if he did some pre-drinking, that's maybe it. And he did tell some stories on stage that can only, you know, I'm being kind to him when I call the stories dumb. They're really stupid. But at the same time, for some reason, it was endearing. Like, he'd already won me over at that point. You know? So I was buying it. I gotta give hats off to Vedder. Let's take this call. KOP, you're on the air. And nothing. Shoo, you tricked me. But yeah, I gotta say, Pearl Jam, they did a good job. They did a real good job. And they were playing for like 2 hours. That 2 hours flew by. Absolutely flew by. Even when Ben Harper came out. Keep in mind, I'm not a big Ben Harper fan. I'm not saying the guy can't play. So I forget what song that he jammed on. Jam, let's use that phrase, jam. Can we all pretend I didn't say that? I forget what song he guessed it on. There we go. but it was good. But Mike McCready, if you bring out a special guest to sit down and play like, you know, lap steel, maybe don't do guitar solos over him so we can hear him. That's another thing, though, about Mike McCready. They were playing Even Flow. Guy put his guitar behind his back. Played it, played the guitar behind his head, actually. And, you know, that may just be a symptom of how bored he was playing that song. But I also got to give props. It's technically very impressive. I don't play guitar, but I'm still wowed by it. Oh, Lisa Linda and company just walked in. So that must mean we're... Oh, and sure enough, look at that. It is 3 minutes to the hour, so we have to clear a spot for the next show, whose name I can't remember. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But, yeah, this has been the Mascot Wedding Show, and it has been nothing but me talking about ACL. Next week, David and I will return. It'll be the first show we've done together in quite some time. So make sure you tune in for that. For more information about this show, including side projects, and more information about David and myself, and podcasts, getting real close on podcasts, you may visit mascotwedding.com. I'm going to close out the show with, I wanted to play some Karen O off of the Where the Wild Things Are soundtrack, but I feel like I talked about that about 30 minutes ago, so it doesn't really tie in anymore. So this is Teddy Bears off their Soft Machine album, Punk Rocker, featuring Iggy Pop. Stay tuned for the Clear Spot, and I will see you, I guess, next week. Whoop, screwed that up. Buying some time. Here we go. Later.